Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're doing well on this snowy Monday. It's been snowing all day, and I've been shoveling intermittently. Shoveled a little bit in the morning just to get, you know, the morning snow out of the way. Wasn't a lot. And then it's been snowing throughout the day, so I went out at noon and shoveled a little bit more and got that snow out of the way. And so it's been a snowy day, busy day, a day of prayer, a day of contemplation of all the Lord, what the Lord did yesterday in the church service. As we talked about peace during our Advent service. Well, we're in Romans chapter 16. This is series number 50. If you can you imagine? We've done 50 already, 50 series. And going strong. going strong. Starting next year, we're going to start another 52 series in 2023. We're looking at Romans 16, 18, but let's read verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, the source of all truth, and not just truth, but saving truth. Keeps us out of trouble. The truth that keeps us on the straight and narrow path. The truth that keeps us following Jesus. The truth that keeps us from grieving the Holy Spirit. The truth that sanctifies the soul. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Bless us. Bless us, O God. We turn to you, the author of our salvation, the executor of our salvation. We praise you. Bless us, Lord, today, we pray. As we end this series number 50 with this last lesson here, as we talk about deceiving the hearts of the simple, bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. We've worked our way through verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words, Christologia, and by fair speeches, eulogia, they deceive the hearts of the simple. We talked about good words, good words. These false teachers and false preachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, they have a way with words. They're good with words. They're orators. They're eloquent. Their public speaking is impeccable. Their diction, just amazing. They have the gift of gab. They're skilled with words, argumentation, and their presentations are flawless. Yes, they are apt to use good words and fair speeches. Boy, they know how to lay it on thick. They know how to flatter you and praise you and compliment you and sweet talk you and fawn on you. They're just great. But they're setting you up for the kill, for they're out to deceive. They employ good words and fair speeches in order that they might deceive. Now, in Greek, there's two words for deception. There is apatheo, it's spelled, if you take the Greek letters and you transliterate them into the English alphabet, apatheo would be A-P-A-T-A-O, apatheo, thao. That's one, and that means seduction that leads to deception. Seduction that leads to deception, a beguiling, if you will. A beguiling. They beguile you. They deceive you. They seduce you. But then there's an ex apatheo. An ex apatheo. Now, whenever it's ex apatheo, it's an intense kind of deceiving. And that's the word used here. Paul says that they use good words and fair speeches in order to bring about an intense kind of deception, a stronger deception, if you will. The deception here, the ex apathao, that kind of deception is complete deception. You're completely deceived. Not that you're halfway deceived or three-quarters deceived. No, no, no. Ex apathao means you're completely deceived. They pull the wool right over your eyes. Beguiled, seduced, deceived, led out of the right path completely. And this is why they use these two forms. It's not just that they come with good words. No. To good words, they also add fair speeches. Why? Because they want the deception to be thorough. Their goal is total destruction, to completely take you off the right path. That's how dangerous they are. That's how dangerous they are. And this is why you should listen to me, saints. Don't listen to what people say. Watch what they do. A lot of people say the right things, but their speech and their actions don't match. This is why you need to give things time. Time is a great revealer. Time will let you know what is true and what is false. Too many saints, are quick to stamp this person and that person with the stamp of approval, not knowing that perhaps they're dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing who is looking for an opportune moment to strike. Yes, Satan has many gifted agents, many gifted servants. They have all kinds of giftings, but the ones that thoroughly deceive use good words and fair speeches, because when you combine the two, it is a deadly mixture. It is a deadly cocktail that brings about complete and total deception. You know, when a doctor gives you a prescription, you really need something strong because you just had surgery, and they're sending you home, and that cut there is raw. And what does the doctor do? He writes out a prescription that is strong, at least for a few days, until you can tolerate a little bit better the pain as the healing process goes on. Well, it's the same thing with deception. The deception is heavy. It's kind of like a strong delusion. To deceive who? Who does the Bible say they want to deceive? Well, it says they want to deceive the heart. The heart of whom? The hearts of the simple. See, they go right for your heart, not for your mind. Notice. I want you to understand this. Good words. You think of a teacher, you think of a professor, you think of a lecturer, you think of an orator, you think of a public speaker, and the public speaker is trying to get to your mind, the orator is trying to get to your mind, the politician is trying to get to your mind, and they're using good words and fair speeches. But in reality, the wolf uses good words and fair speeches not to reach your mind, but to reach your heart. And the heart of whom? The heart of the simple. This word simple kakos. Kakos means evil. Kakos. Satan is evil. The evil one. He's called the evil one. Kakos. Constitutionally evil. Evil nature. Evil mind. Evil heart. Evil intentions. Evil actions. Pure evil is Satan. Pure evil are his angels. Pure evil are his ministers. But a person who is of simple heart is a person who has no evil, has no guile in their heart, has no malice in their heart. So notice, Satan and his ministers target people who, when it comes to evil, they are novices. They know nothing about evil. I'm going to give you two examples from my personal life. Two examples. The first example was when I was about 12. I was at the time staying with my Aunt Mary, my father's sister. My grandmother was running back and forth to the hospital taking care of my mother, who was cancer-ridden, and so my grandmother sent me to my Aunt Mary's house, my father's sister. She had some boys that were my age, Arnold and Waldo, my two cousins, Arnold and Waldo, and we were all the same age, so I was staying with my aunt, and it was our habit, it was Arnold's habit and my habit and Waldo's habit to go down, take the train from Manhattan, from 116th Street there in Spanish Harlem. We would take the train, the number 6 train, all the way down to 42nd Street in Manhattan, and we would get off the train and go to 42nd Street, and we would go there on Saturdays because the movie theaters there on 42nd Street, which was called Times Square also, 42nd Street, Times Square, the movie theaters there had three movies for a dollar. Now, this is 1971. I was 12 years old, 1971. So this was our habit. This was our weekly habit to go down to Times Square. And we would the three of us would go down there. We would ride on the subway on a Saturday afternoon, ride on the subway, and get off on 42nd. It was just, you take the number 6 train, which was a local line, and it would just make every stop until it reached 42nd. We get out there, we go up from the stairway, and we were right there on Times Square, and there were all the movie houses. You had your pick. And we would look at the marquee, and they would have three movies for a dollar, three movies, karate movies, sci-fi movies. They had Godzilla versus King Kong. They had all those movies. Every three movies for a dollar. And I remember one week my two cousins were sick. I was not sick. They were sick. They were bedridden. They had the cold or something. I know that they were down and out. And I was imploring my aunt to let me go. I was bored. I said, listen, I know how to go down there. We go down there every weekend. Please, please, please let me go. Let me go. And I had my dollar. And she said, okay. Okay, but be careful. And I took the train and I went down to Times Square. And I got out and I'm looking at the marquees because I want to make sure I pick the right movie house. I want to make sure I get something that I didn't see before. And up comes this man, he walks up to me, and this is wintertime. Up comes this man, he walks up to me, he says, you going to the movies? I said, yeah. I mean, that's why we're all here. We're all here to go to the movies. And he says, what are you looking for? I says, well, I'm looking for three movies for a dollar. He says, hey, kid, I know of a movie house that you can get a movie for 25 cents. I said, there's no way there's a movie for 25 cents. He says, yeah, there's a movie for 25 cents. I said, really? He says, yes, really. I said, well, I'd rather stick with these movies because I come here all the time with my cousins. And he says, where are they? He says, well, they're homesick, and I came down by myself. He says, come on, listen.
You can get a movie for 25 cents. Now, again, I wasn't reasoning. I'm a 12-year-old. And I'm saying, okay, four quarters make a dollar. I can see a movie. I can see a movie for 25 cents. That means I can, for 75 cents, I can see three movies and I have a quarter left over. And so I said, okay, let's go. So he took me. And I'm following him. And this is a man. And here's this 12-year-old boy following this man. And he takes me into this movie house. And I remember on the outside, this movie house had three X's. It was a rated X movie house. And he says, come here. And we didn't go inside the movie theater, but there was a little booth, if you will, outside the movie theater. He says, look, you drop the quarter here and you get to see the movie. So he says, I'm going to put the first quarter in for you. And all you got to do is bend over and look. And it was, I didn't know what it was. It was a peep show, a rated X peep show. So he puts the quarter in and I look down, and before I knew it, I feel his hand going inside my coat. And of course the guy was there to molest me. And I ran out of there, I shot out of there. Now of course this was not inside the movie theater, this was on the outside of the movie theater, but it was kind of, there was an enclosure. And it was a pedophile. And there is me, simple of heart. You see, someone who is simple is someone who is a child in mind. There's no malice. There's a lot of innocence there. You can easily beguile somebody because they have no life experience with malice. They have no life experience with evil. They have no life experience really with sin. They have no life. They really have no life experience with wolves. And there I was, there by myself, looking at the marquee. Somebody walks up to me, somebody with good words and fair speeches got me to follow them over to this little booth, and he puts the quarter in, and I start looking, and he starts touching, and I ran. Now, he would have never approached me with my other two cousins, but because I was by myself. Because I was isolated, because I'm pretty sure they walk up and down those streets there on 42nd looking for kids like me. And what did I know? I was simple-minded when it came to the evils of this world. And he very easily led me astray, completely led me astray, point where I followed him. It was only because of God's sovereign hand that I was not hurt. Was not hurt. Wasn't damaged. I never became damaged goods. But God allowed me to learn a lesson about evil and about the evil that's out there, and how men with good words and fair speeches can lure away people whose minds have not been opened. What did I know? I was a 12-year-old kid. I just wanted to see Godzilla beat up on some other monsters. That's why I was down there. I wanted to have a normal Saturday in America. A normal Saturday in America in my neighborhood was going to the movie house. That's where all the kids went. They went to the movies. Or they went to the diner and sat down and had a milkshake with some fries. That's normal America. Until I realized that there were men like that. That was my first experience. Now, 8 years later, I remember this like it was yesterday. 8 years later, I was 20 years old. And I had just dropped off a girl. I was on a date, and I had just dropped off a girl. It was about 11 p.m., and of course, I was down in Times Square with this girl, and I had to bring her home on time. And I dropped her off at her house, and I was on my way to the train station to take the train to go to where I lived. And there I am. Now, from the girl's house to the train station was about 12 city blocks. And it was a cold December day, cold December day. And I'm starting to make my way, and I'm on block number one or two. And this car pulls up next to me. Now, mind you, I'm 20 years old. And the guy pulls down the window. He says, listen, I'm lost. And he says to me, where is Third Avenue? I said, well, Third Avenue is about 12 blocks in that direction. And he says to me, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it. Because like I said, I'm not, you know, I don't know this area. I said, listen, just drive straight. If you drive straight, you can't miss it. He says, well, I'm kind of nervous because I've been going around in circles and I just can't find Third Avenue. And he said to me, are you headed that way? I said, yeah, well, the train station that I have to go to is right on Third Avenue. It's right. It's, like I said, it's straight ahead, like 10 blocks away. Just, and it was a cold night. He says, well, listen. Maybe you can do me a favor. Maybe you can ride with me. And this way I can get you to the train station and you can get me to Third Avenue. Now, I was freezing. It was cold. And I'm 20 years old. I'm a big guy, right? And I said, what can go wrong? All right, I'll go with you. So I get into this little tiny compact. It's a little tiny compact car. And so I sit down, and he's driving, and I didn't notice that there was a guy in the back. There was a guy lying down in the back or kneeling down in the back, and when I sat down and the guy started to drive, the other guy who was kneeling down, I didn't even see him. He sat up in the car. He sat in the back seat. And that guy put a gun to my head. And he says, don't try to escape. Don't try to run. I got a gun here, and we'll take care of business if you act stupid. So both guys kept driving. And they pass Third Avenue, they get on the highway, they get on the Brooklyn Boulevard highway, and they're driving, and they're accelerating, and before you know it, we're driving like for 20, 30 minutes. And they pull into this big school bus depot. It was a big, I mean, I had never seen a parking lot with so many school buses. I didn't even know where I was. And they took that little car, and they parked it, and they had this parking already set up. They wedged that little car between two school buses, and the parking was so tight that even if I tried to open the door, there was no way I can open the door. It was already a setup. And both guys, and now I'm 20 now. Remember, I'm 20 years old. I was on a date. And both guys wanted to molest me. And what did I start to do? I started to pray out loud. I prayed everything I remember praying in the Bible. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And those two guys were frustrated. Now, again, it's winter. I have my coat on. I'm keeping my coat on. They're trying to grope me and touch me. And there I am. And now I can't run anywhere. One guy in the back has a gun, according to him, right? I mean, I can feel the gun in the back of my neck, right? When he first put it there, I felt it. I know what a gun feels like. And there I am. I'm sandwiched between these two school buses. There's a school bus in front and two school buses on the side. And, I mean, they had this thing set up. They knew exactly where they were taking me. They knew that anyone that they had grabbed could never get out because there was no way you could open the door. That's how tight the spot was. And it was that way on purpose. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. And finally, the guy was so frustrated, the one that was driving, that he started up the car. And they took me right back to the spot where they had picked me up. So they knew the area. But you see, my brothers and sisters, again, I had no malice. I didn't know about these things. I didn't know about how much evil there is in the world. Here this guy pulls up and tells me he's lost. He's, oh, I'm lost. You know, I've been driving around, and I can't find Third Avenue. Add that to the fact that I'm cold. I gotta walk 12 blocks to the train station, 12 long blocks. It's freezing. I would like to get into the train station, get on the hot train, warm train, and get myself home. And this guy's lost. I need to get there. He says, hey, you'll help me and I'll help you. And I'm 20 years old. I'm a big, pretty big guy. I'm full of life. And I said, sure. What could go wrong? Boy, what could go wrong? Everything could go wrong. It's a miracle. It's a miracle those guys didn't kill me. I could tell you stories about evil and malice and guile and how men and even women with good words and fair speeches can deceive. They can seduce even a 20-year-old. This is what Paul's writing about. We're innocent. You know, church folk are really innocent people. We don't know the depths of the kinds of sins that live in people's hearts, that reside in people's hearts. There's a lot of wickedness in the world. Let me take you to Genesis 5. I want to show you Genesis 5 for a minute. Let me take you there. There's a phrase there. Here it is. Okay. Genesis 6:5. Let's go to Genesis 6:5. I want to show you something. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, that's the depth of depravity that God can fully see. We can't see it. But God saw the wickedness of man and that it was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. And these kinds of men who have those kinds of hearts, who think only on evil all the time, 24/7, they're looking for people who are simple of heart. They're looking for people who are not experienced with evil. And they have a way of sweet-talking you into trouble. They have a way. They just have a way. And here you are. Here I am, a young man. Free. I mean, that night was cold. I remember leaving that girl's house, and I was saying to myself, boy, I got a long walk. A long walk. And it was bitterly cold. 12 long
city blocks before I got to the train station. And here comes this guy. He rolls up, and I said, boy, this is my ticket. I'll be there in 3 or 4 minutes. If we have green lights all the way through, I'll be there in no time. Unbeknown to me, there wasn't one guy in the car. There were two. Unbeknown to me, the evil imaginations of their hearts. It's a miracle that I'm here today. Only by God's grace am I alive today. They should have put a bullet in the back of my head and dumped me somewhere, and I should have been history. I would have never seen all the years that I've seen. It's only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. So Paul says these people exist. And you talk about knowing evil and saying, well, Pastor, that'll never come to the church. Oh, yes, it will. And let me give you just one scripture because we're almost out of time. Let me take you to Revelation chapter 2. Let's go to Revelation 2. Oh, Pastor, that only happened to you on 42nd Street. That only happened to you on Times Square. Pastor, that only happened to you on a street in the Bronx. Oh, no. This happens in church, and I'm going to show you by means of scripture that if you let your guard down, these people who use good words and fair speeches can even get into the church and deceive many of the people of God. Now, Revelation chapter 2. Verse 20, it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, pastor. The Lord Jesus here is speaking to the pastor of the church of Thyatira. Notwithstanding, pastor, I have a few things against you, because you have allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She calls herself an inspired preacher. And what has she done? She has taught and seduced my servants. Notice, the woman is a self-proclaimed prophetess, one who was skilled in good words and in fair speeches. With her good words and fair speeches, she has taught the people to such a point that she has seduced them into committing fornication and to eating things sacrificed to idols. Happens in church too. Satan's ministers creep in. And pastors who have fallen asleep, right, like Rip Van Winkle, when they wake up 20 years later, the congregation has been indoctrinated and seduced to sexual immorality and to idolatry. So Jesus goes on to say, I have given her space to repent of her fornication, and she has not repented. Behold, I, the Lord, will cast her into a bed of affliction, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I, the Lord, Jesus, will kill her children with death. I will plague them. And all the churches will then know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every man according to their works. Now look at verse 24. It's an interesting verse. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine. In other words, the prophetess didn't beguile everyone. She didn't seduce everyone. She seduced enough. She seduced many, but not all. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. You see, my brothers and sisters,
Satan has depths of pollution. Satan has depths of pollution. And what Satan does is he takes people down into the muck and the mire of sin. And the Lord Jesus says, as many as have not known this doctrine of Jezebel, have not practiced it, have not engaged in it, and have not gone down to the depths where Satan would have them to go. In other words, to those who have not lowered their standards, I put on you no other burden. In other words, I'm okay with you for not having allowed yourself to be seduced. So notice, my brothers and sisters, you and I now today at 63, listen, you're not getting over on me. I'm not a 20-year-old anymore. I'm not a 12-year-old anymore. I've lived life. I've seen everything. I've seen everything, and I've seen it in the church, not just in the world. I've seen it in the church, and I can smell a wolf coming miles away. But that's because over the years, I have gone from a simple-minded man, from a simple-minded 12-year-old, and a simple-minded 20-year-old, to a seasoned and hardened warrior for Christ. So now I keep my eyes peeled for those in the church of the Lord who are simple, who have never been exposed to the nastiness of evil, to base evil, to the lowest evil that there could be. So this is why as shepherds we keep our eyes open, because we're trying to protect the little lambs, the little souls that we hope and pray will never be exposed to the kind of garbage that we were exposed to in our lifetime. Well, that'll do it for today. I hope the lesson was a blessing to you, and I hope that the Lord Jesus will speak to you and encourage you and pray for me as I pray for you and pray for Grace Church as we move forward in the Lord to do great and mighty things. I'll be starting another series in a day or so. So we have two more series to go. We have series 51 and series 50, because there's 52 weeks in a year, and I promise to deliver you a series per week. And we're on our way to doing just that. God bless you, saints.